Welcome to the Wampa's Lair podcast. Deep in the bowels of the frozen ice caverns of Hoth, our hosts, Carl LeClaire and Jason Hunt, have been frozen upside down to the cave ceiling with nothing to do but talk all things Star Wars. So make yourselves comfortable, but keep a wary eye out for trouble here in the Wampa's Lair.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Wampa's Lair podcast. I am your co-host, Jason Hunt, and with me is the creator of this podcast, the man with the imagination behind it. We have Carl LeClaire.
Hello, hello. How you doing tonight, Jason?
I'm doing great. Our first ever episode of the Wampa's Lair podcast. I'm so excited.
Oh, as am I. So, just a little background to our podcast. Jason, we just met, what, not even 3 weeks ago?
Yeah, we met at Fan Days. That was down here in earlier this month, down here in Dallas, Texas.
That's right, and you're a Texas boy.
San Antonio,
San
yes.
San Antonio. I'm a New York boy living in Boston, enemy country. You know. But yeah, Jason and I met at Fan Days just a few weeks ago and got to be pretty good friends and decided to sign up for C6 together. And then I was like, Jason, why don't we make a podcast? And
this is all within the first week of knowing each other.
Right. That's, again, just shows how awesome the Star Wars fan community is.
Indeed.
So, essentially, the idea of our podcast, Jason and I are just going to be picking lots of random fun topics about everyone's favorite movies, Star Wars, and just hashing them out. And we figured, what better way to start than tonight, our first episode being all about our favorite moments from all six films. So, tonight we're going to be talking about that. So, Jason, anything you want to say before we get started?
No, let's get to it. Let's get to it.
All right. So, of course, we're going to be like George Lucas and start with episode one, you know. We're not going to worry about that 30-year jump. And we'll start with The Phantom Menace. I got a couple scenes from that, but Jason, do you want to give... How many you got? Two?
I got two, three.
Okay.
Three-ish.
All right, why don't you go ahead and start? Give me one of those scenes, bud.
Okay, well, the first scene that I wanted to mention was my most memorable moment. One of the most memorable moments is the pod race scene. Smack dab in the middle of the movie, we get this epic pod race with all these great sound effects that Ben Burtt whipped up for the pod race. It was just... I was 11 when episode 1 came out, and it was so fast-paced, so... high octane, high adrenaline. It was just like, oh my gosh, that is the coolest thing ever. Until I saw the rest of the movie.
Oh. Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, I put down the pod race as well. I mean, it's awesome. You know, it's just, you know, you're a Southern boy, so you probably do like NASCAR, but no, I'm just kidding. But, you know, I mean, it's just such a great sequence. Like you said, I mean, the image is great. The CGI is phenomenal for those scenes. I mean, there's nothing about it that looks campy. There's nothing about it that looks computer gamey. And it's just a great scene. It keeps you so engaged for the entire process of that race.
So, yeah, and the sound, I think, is one of my favorite parts of that entire sequence is all of the different sounds that each of the different pods make. Not only is it a treat for the eyes, but it's a treat for the ears. So
yeah, exactly. I love the sound of Sebulba's pod racer. It's such a cool sound. It sounds like this, like, incredibly, you know, crazy sounding Corvette or something. It sounds really good. And not to mention some of the alien creatures you meet in that sequence. Oh. It's so great.
It's fantastic. It's fantastic. So do you have another memorable moment from the Phantom Menace?
I've only got one more, though, so why don't you go ahead and give another one?
Okay, well, maybe this will be the same as well. The lightsaber duel at the end of the movie.
Oh, gotta be. Yep.
Yep. Darth Maul, Qui-Gon, Obi-Wan. It's... probably the most epic introduction to Jedi action that you could have asked for. You know, up until this point, obviously, lightsaber duels were cool, they were great, but it wasn't as fast-paced as this was. This was just breakneck speed, it seemed like, compared to anything else we'd seen. And seeing how the Jedi characters are my favorite characters, just seeing them in action was just great. And, of course, Darth Maul with his double-bladed lightsaber just was like icing on the cake.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I mean, for me, that's hands down the best duel in all of the films, in my opinion. I mean, the original trilogy has some great duels, and they're incredibly character driven, but there's something, I mean, the duel between Qui-Gon, Obi-Wan, and Darth Maul is just so intense. It's lightning fast, and it's so well choreographed. I mean, Nick Gilliard, he did a fantastic job, and it just looks so cool. And I remember even before Phantom Menace came out, I'm sure you remember this too, when they did the pre-release of the figures at Toys R Us.
The first
figure I bought was Darth Maul. And I was like, who is this guy? He's awesome. A double-bladed lightsaber. What is this about? And just that entire scene, the music especially, the Duel of the Fates song.
Oh.
So epic. The chorus coming in. It's just, when those doors open, Qui-Gon, we'll handle this. I mean, so good. So good.
Yes.
And also, I mean, the end to my favorite character in the prequels, too. I love Qui-Gon. And watching him die was so upsetting. But then, you know, right as those ray shields separate and Obi-Wan comes running at him, the intensity with which he attacks is unbelievable. Unbelievable.
It's just a great sequence from start to finish, and I don't think I really have anything that I would change. There's nothing that I would change or disagree with what they did there. It was just...
Oh, yeah. The only thing it's perfect the way it is. The only thing I think I would have enjoyed seeing was maybe just a tiny... And I've heard people talk about this on other podcasts before, but the one thing that would be kind of cool is if Darth Maul taunted Obi-Wan right before Obi-Wan attacks him. After he kills Qui-Gon, just say something like, look what I just did to your master. You know, just something to really just steam him up. But it's not necessary. Obi-Wan is so pissed. And I love it too. They're both like standing there like kind of, you know, jumping up and down but their feet are planted. But you know what I mean? They're like, their whole bodies are just pulsing, ready to just tear each other apart. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's... I've heard that idea that, you know, some sort of taunt would be a great addition to it, but I think it's better without it, to be perfectly honest.
Sure.
I think that it doesn't need it, because Darth Maul is just, the way that he carries himself is a taunt to Obi-Wan. He's just like, really, you know, I don't even have to say anything. You're just pathetic. So the way he just looks at him and, you know, just gives these little, like, come on, you know, what are you going to do gestures. It's just like, I don't think it needs any dialogue, to be perfectly honest. But that's my opinion.
No, I really agree. You're right. He is the embodiment of a taunt. You know, just look at him. He just looks right at him and says, he does it without even words, like you said. I mean, he says what I would want him to say. If he said it, you're right, it'd probably almost sound a little cheesy. He just looks at him with like almost like there's like a smirk on his face, like, you're next.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But, yeah. So anyway, I'm curious, what's your other scene?
Well, this one actually sort of kind of bridges this movie and Attack of the Clones, because it deals with the same character. But I've got where did I put that? When, in The Phantom Menace, when Anakin leaves his mother, and then in Attack of the Clones, when she dies in his arms, I don't know. This, watching those scenes now, as I'm older, it's some of the most heart-wrenching scenes, I think, that are in the prequels. Every time Anakin walks away, and there's that one last shot of his mother, before it cuts the next scene, and she's standing there in front of the house by herself, you know, hugging herself. I just get chills. Chills down my spine, and I'm just like, I feel for her.
Right.
I feel so much for her, and it's... And I know a lot of people have complained about the prequels is because of the bad acting. Well, there's not exactly outstanding acting in any of the Star Wars movies. That's not necessarily what they're for.
Right.
They're not high quality dramas. But that sequence there, I feel so much for her, and it's something that I'm close to my mom, and we talk a lot. And if something like that were to happen, it would have just be totally heart-wrenching for me if that actually happened to me. So,
You know, I'm so glad you mentioned it. I can't believe I forgot. That would have been my third scene as well. I'm right with you. Every time so obviously, with the Blu-rays just coming out, I've been watching the films a lot lately. And I hadn't watched Phantom Menace in probably a couple of years, and I've watched it twice now since the Blu-rays have been out. And that one scene, every time, and like you said, I mean, it does connect to Attack of the Clones, but... I can't remember the actress's name that plays Shmi, but
Pernella August.
Yeah, Pernella August. I mean, she delivers those lines so well. You know, when she says "Don't look back," and then the music rises as he turns and leaves.
Oh, I'm getting chills just thinking about it right now. Oh my god,
it's such a powerful scene. And you know, just like you, I mean, I'm pretty young myself. I'm only a few years older than you. We've all had that experience, especially with your mother saying goodbye to you when you go to college, or. You know, any of that experience, you know what that's like. But she's giving him up for could be the rest of his life, and she does it so willingly. The love she has for her child is unbelievable.
Yeah, and then of course, dying in his arms. You know, she's able to let herself go because she's seen him again, and she's complete now. And that scene too is just I get chills thinking about it. It's just I mean, it's no wonder Anakin starts his descent to the dark side then. It's right. No wonder.
Exactly. Exactly. So, hey, good stuff. Thanks for bringing that up.
No problem.
So, let's jump over to episode 2, Attack of the Clones.
Yes, yes. Why don't you start us off this time?
All right. I've got two again. And my first scene is... this is... You know, it's in conjunction, actually, what we were just talking about, so it works out perfectly. The scene where Anakin slaughters the Tusken Raiders. I come from a family of bad tempers. And to see what just happened, I mean, this is the boy's mother. This was his whole life growing up. She was just killed brutally by these, you know, this savage tribe of people. And he just goes buck wild. And... When you see that happen, all I think is I would have done the same thing. And you know, it almost chills me to think that. Like, he's so brutal, but at the same time, the amount of pain he is feeling. And actually, my favorite part of the scene is actually afterwards when he comes back and he's going to talk to Padme about what he does. The way, again, I'm with you. These movies are not the best acting movies, especially the prequels. But I think this one sequence, Hayden Christensen nails it. I think he does great. So real quick, I'm just going to play that clip, if you don't mind, Jason.
Sure, no problem.
And we'll just listen to what Anakin has to say about these Tusken Raiders.
I killed them. I killed them all. They're dead. Every single one of them. And not just the men, but the women and the children too. They're like animals, and I slaughtered them like animals. I hate them.
So that's what I'm thinking. I really enjoy that scene.
It's one of those things where it makes you really think, you know, what would I have done in that situation? It's like, I don't know. I don't know what I would have done in that situation. It's I don't know if I would have just, like, aimlessly wandered the desert, or if I would have, you know, rushed out there, you know, sliced up the Tusken Raiders, you know, like he did. I don't know. I honestly don't know what I would have done. So,
yeah, I just, in that scene, his response to it, I remember, just, there's something about, I think Hayden Christensen is a great physical actor. I think he delivers a lot with his facial expressions and his body language more than his ability to deliver a line. But that scene, just, you can see that pain in his eyes. You can see the pain. You can see the resentment for these people that murdered his mother. And I think that that scene, especially, I mean, like you said, you know, in episode one there, when he leaves his mother, you can already see why he would, you know, fall to the dark side. But this is the scene, this is the first scene in the films where we see him act purely out of hatred. And and you can't hate him for it. You know, I mean, look at Padme. Padme is this incredibly intelligent, you know, senator and queen, and her response is so loving. You know, she doesn't judge him for it. She doesn't hate him for it. She tells him, you know, it's to be angry is to be human. And that's true, but he went a little more than angry. I mean, he slaughtered everything that was in that camp.
Yeah, and that's one of the good storytelling things that George Lucas has done is he's, you know, this is a character that we're supposed to like, and we really do like him, and we feel for him and what happened, and yet he's done this horrible, horrible thing, and yet we still can't fault him for it.
Right.
And it's one of those things where it's, you know, just the first step, and then there's the next step, and the next step, and it's all completely logical, and you can't dislike him for it, but it just, he gets farther and farther and farther away from the light, and it's just... It's the mastery of the storytelling that George Lucas has done, and it's very, very interesting to look at it once you've seen the whole thing.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's, I mean, like I said, it's the first scene that I always think of when I think of Attack of the Clones. I mean, Attack of the Clones is probably my least favorite of all six films, but that one scene, every time, it gives me chills. Not so much even the scene where he actually starts killing them. It's always that scene after where he explains it. And you can just see that his hatred and his pain, it's all just mixed together. You know, it's such a good character development. You know, it's hard to set, his action is, you know, purely evil. It's purely deplorable. I mean, this is not a good action. However, he's incapable of separating that from his pain. And he's a child still. He's still a child. He's not capable of separating those feelings, but you feel for him, and that's why I love that scene.
Yeah, it's very good. Well, you mentioned that's the first scene that comes to your head when you think of this movie. Well, the first scene that comes to my head is actually my next memorable moment from Attack of the Clones, and that is simply the Battle of the Geonosis Arena with all the Jedi. Like I said before, the Jedi characters are my favorite characters, and whenever I think Attack of the Clones, that is the first thing that comes into my head, and it's just Jedi on steroids, basically.
Yeah, you said it.
It's just so much crammed into such a limited amount of frame, and it's just, I have multiple times gone through that sequence frame by frame by frame by frame by frame just to look at the whole thing because it's amazing. And then of course one of my favorite Jedi makes his memorable appearance, Kit Fisto.
Yes indeed. He's always smiling, that one.
Always, yeah, that was, I actually ended up getting his action figure before I saw the movie. So I was looking for him to begin with, and then when I saw him I was like, oh, this is just so cool. He's the coolest character. I'm so glad I got his action figure. So, and now I'm trying to get just about at least one of everything of Kit Fisto. So that's going to be expensive.
You're young. You got plenty of time. That's our advantage, Jason. We got no, there's no rush for us.
Right. That's true.
Yeah. I agree. It's actually not one of my most memorable scenes from the film, which is weird because it is the biggest, it is probably the biggest part of the film that people are going to remember. But,
right,
you know, it's a great scene. It's awesome when you see all these Jedi. Like you said, it is Jedi on steroids. You have all the, probably, you know, hundreds of Jedi just running at these battle droids, and it's great. And I love the way it begins. Mace Windu, or should we just say Sam Jackson, because this is Sam Jackson more than Mace Windu.
You know, basically.
This party's over. You know?
And then the entire arena erupts with lightsaber blades. And
yeah.
It's just...
it's awesome.
Absolutely. And you think, awesome. At first you think, oh, it's over for you, Dooku, but then he's got all of the, you know, the battle droids that come in and stuff like that, so... and then it's like, oh, maybe it's not over for you, Dooku, but...
Right.
It's... first, it starts off in complete favor of the Jedi, but then it just... the whole tide of the battle flips, and it's... I don't know, it's really cool, and it's... and then, of course, Yoda's rescue at the end to bring everybody out, and... was epic, you know.
Absolutely. Around the survivors, a perimeter create.
You do that so well. And I love the one in Robot Chicken, too, when he says that and he goes, look, I know what you're saying, but you could just say it, you know, so we could all understand you. And then he's like, I understand. It's so good. Oh, but awesome. So... How many scenes you got for Attack of the Clones? Two as well?
Well, actually, I have two more, so...
okay. Why don't you go ahead and give another one, because I've only got one left.
Okay, well, my other one is, you know, in the same general area of the movie, so I'll go ahead with that one. It's the battle between Yoda and Count Dooku.
Sure.
Just, you know, everybody knew coming into this movie that Yoda was going to be able to fight... we didn't know exactly how he would do it and if they would be able to pull it off right. And he walks in with the cane, you know, very slowly. Little force duel between him and Dooku, and then he just whips the lightsaber out, you know, almost does the, you know, the gunslinger, you know, twirl the pistol before they, you know, they start firing, and he does that with the saber, ignites it, and then he just totally kicks Dooku's butt.
Yeah.
It was the most awesome thing I'd ever seen Yoda do in my life, and
oh, come on! He raised an X-wing out of a swamp.
In
1980,
but
I'm kidding.
Still, this was even more awesome than that for me. So I mean, it was just I was like, oh my gosh! I was completely nerding out. So, which apparently I do a lot with these movies, I've been told.
Yeah. Well, surprisingly, I didn't pick that scene. I do enjoy that duel, but yeah, I mean, I'm sure you remember when they made the trailer to the movie, and you have this scene where Yoda comes in, and you know, the music rises, and, you know, Dooku shoots the lightning at him, nothing's having any effect, and Yoda just, like you said, he just whoops him, you know, hands down, this is a Yoda victory. Yoda just takes control, and Dooku is left thinking, oh my god, I gotta get out of here. It's great. I mean, this is the film where they clearly define to us why Yoda is the headmaster of the Jedi Council.
Exactly. And then at the very end, he just grabs his cane again and...
hobbles on, yeah.
You know, it's...
yeah. Oh yeah, I'm 900, by the way.
Oh, right. No, no big deal.
Yeah, in case you'd forgotten... So, great. Well, if you're cool, I'm going to go ahead and do my last scene for Attack of the Clones.
Feel free. Go ahead.
So, for me, and it might be yours as well, Obi-Wan versus Jango.
Yep.
Yeah, I love this scene. I'm a huge Obi-Wan fan. I mean, Obi-Wan, especially in the prequels. I mean, Ewan McGregor is hands down. He and Ian McMard's last name, the Emperor there.
Ian McDiarmid,
thank you. The two of them, in my opinion, are definitely the best consistent actors in the prequels.
Oh, yes.
And Ewan McGregor, I mean, he's just awesome. But obviously there's nothing about dialogue in this scene. But Obi-Wan, you know, he's not... I love the way it's put together. Because Obi-Wan is, you know, like, he is a leading Jedi swordsman going up against a bounty hunter. So you'd think, all right, he should own him. But this is Jango Fett as well. Django, like, Django's clearly on the shorter end of the stick, but he doesn't lose, which I love. And I love how it turns into a hand-to-hand brawl.
It started out looking like it was going to be, another butt-kicking with Obi-Wan going in there. Django Fett rockets up, shoots the rocket at him, and he loses his lightsaber. And that changes the entire game.
Exactly.
And it's the first time we've seen a hand-to-hand brawl between a Jedi and anybody else, which was, I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, like I said, it's the thing that makes it so great, in my opinion, is just I love it when they get down to that hand-to-hand. Because it's like, how would a Jedi handle himself in a fist fight? And Obi-Wan shows quite well. I love it when Django knocks him down. He leans over him, and Obi-Wan kicks him right in the helmet. And it's so great, because if you look at any statue of Boba Fett, the helmet is dented. And that's from when Obi-Wan kicks him in the face. It's awesome. I love it. Absolutely wonderful. And not to mention it's on one of my favorite planets, but maybe that'll be a day for another episode. But I love Kamino.
That's the rain in that sequence was definitely added to the entire mood, and it was good. And I sort of added the whole sequence in the asteroid field in with this sequence as far as I'm concerned.
Sure.
Because I love the seismic charges.
Yeah, those sound so cool.
Throws out. It's the coolest sound effect that was developed for the prequels, and I'm not counting, you know, the lightsabers and everything, because that was already established. But the coolest sound effect that was developed in the prequels, in my opinion, was those seismic charges.
Oh, absolutely.
So, that whole battle in the asteroid field was pretty cool. It was the first time we'd seen a space battle that was specifically one versus one. Which was kind of unique, and that was the only space battle we got, in that movie. So
yeah, and not to mention, I love the Slave One. It's a sweet ship. By the way, the sounds they made for it too. Again, just like kind of like Sebulba's pod racer, the sound of the Slave One is phenomenal. It sounds like such a cool ship.
Yeah.
And that's one of my favorite things too. In Empire and whatnot, when you see the Slave One, you don't really see it do a whole lot. But in that scene, like you said, I mean, you see, you know, what makes Jango Fett so renowned. I mean, he's an awesome pilot, and, you know, he does a great job flying that ship. So.
Yeah. And the way that they worked the sound in and the music in, and the fact that the music didn't start until Jango decided to shoot the missile. So that it was purely sound effects, just like it was for most of the pod race, just purely sound effects. And then so we could get the full appreciation of those seismic charges. And then once Jango goes in for the kill with the missile, the music picks up and we get the race, through the asteroids with the missile following Obi-Wan, and Obi-Wan finally, outsmarting it and hiding on the back of the asteroid, reminiscent of the Millennium Falcon hiding on the back of the Star Destroyer. So
absolutely. Yeah. It's so good. It's almost like, I like the way you brought that up, in episode 2, Obi-Wan pulls the tactic off. Jango thinks he's dead, but it's almost like it's almost like Boba Fett learned from that mistake that his father made. And it's almost like, I know exactly what Solo's doing.
Aha.
So
they are connected.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's unintentional. Who knows? But, at least an interesting way to look at it nonetheless, right?
Yes. Yes, it is.
So.
All right. Well, that's all I have for Attack of the Clones. Do you have anything else?
I do not. So, why don't we jump to, again, what's in my opinion the greatest of the prequels, Revenge of the Sith. So, I also have two for this as well. You got a couple more than that?
I have one, two, and three. I have three.
Okay, why don't you kick it off again, my friend?
Okay, well, obviously, I'm going to get the big one out of the way, and that's the battle between Obi-Wan and Anakin.
Oh, I was hoping you'd save that. Okay.
Um,
but that's quite all right. Let's talk about it. You want to talk about it?
Yeah. Yeah. Right, and it's just one of these battles. Obviously, it's an epic-looking lightsaber battle. It's the most intricately and fast-paced lightsaber battle in the movies, period. Which is great because, you know, we have Obi-Wan, who is, you know, one of our favorites from, you know, the entire saga. And then we have Anakin, who's become so powerful and, you know, they're best friends. So that's the problem, though, is that they're best friends. And so it's not only is this whole battle just, you know, between two very evenly matched warriors, one Anakin being maybe a little bit more powerful, but a little less in control.
Yeah.
But it's a best friends, and the friendship is just getting torn apart each step they make into this battle. And that in and of itself is really, I don't know, that I have a couple of very, very, very close friends that I will love them dearly to my grave. And if that happened to me and any one of them, that would crush me. And so it's amazing that, to me, at the end of it, that Obi-Wan is able to, you know, get away from the whole thing and not just completely have a meltdown.
Yeah.
But of course, I guess he focuses his energies back in on rescuing Padme, but still, you know, it's just, it's an epic scene through hell, basically.
Yeah.
In which a best friendship is just ripped apart.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, probably for a lot of people, this is the go-to scene in Revenge of the Sith. I mean, it's the scene Star Wars fans that were, you know, I mean, anybody that was a Star Wars fan before the prequels, this was the scene people have been waiting for 30 years, you know? And it lives up to it. I mean, it's just, it's so intensely fast. I mean, I still enjoy, I think, the duel from Phantom Menace more, only because mm-hmm. it is a little bit slower and you can follow it a little better. They are going so fast. I mean, it's lightning speed fast.
Yeah.
And like you said, I mean, this is not just, you know, a duel between two enemies. This is a duel between a master and his apprentice. This is the duel between two best friends who intensely care about each other. And I mean, the whole duel itself is phenomenal. Maybe there's something about me who likes the ending of things, but real quick, I'm going to play a clip from the end of the film right before the way the duel ends. So if you don't mind, Jason, I'm going to go ahead and play that.
Okay.
It's over, Anakin! I have the high ground! You underestimate my power. Don't try it. You are the chosen one. It was said that you would destroy this sin, not join them. Bring balance to the force, not leave it in darkness.
So that's what I'm thinking. I love the way this scene ends. It ends so phenomenally. I remember that was the first time I had gotten to see a Star Wars movie at a midnight showing, and I was so pumped about it. That was my freshman year in college. So I just finished my freshman year in college. Mommy and Daddy couldn't tell me what time I couldn't go to the movies, and I went with my two cousins to the midnight showing of that film. And again, I mean, I just fell in love with the movie. I fell in love with that incredible lightsaber duel. But when it ends, that scene, those lines between each other, Anakin yells, "I hate you." And he's got those yellow eyes. You can see how much hate is in him and how sad he is. And Obi-Wan still responds, "I loved you." I mean, this is a man who still loves Anakin, even through all the crap he's just gone through. And I remember when I saw that scene, it's the first time in a Star Wars movie I teared up. I teared up. I think part of the reason I teared up is because I knew this was the last Star Wars movie ever to be made. And that really made me sad. But even more than that, I mean, I just felt so crushed for Obi-Wan and Anakin. I mean, here's the death of this unbelievable friendship.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. That's what I think about it.
I don't think I can top that. That's some deep thoughts.
Well, I'm as deep as the chasm on the Death Star, my friend.
Indeed, indeed.
So, do you want to share another scene of yours? Because I'm fairly certain my next scene will not be one of yours. If it is, I'll be astounded. But so, why don't you go ahead and share one of your other ones?
Okay. Well, one of my other ones is actually intercut with this, and that's the duel between Yoda and Palpatine.
Oh.
And, well, first of all, the lead up to the duel was good, was fun. You know, Yoda walking in there and slamming royal guards up against the wall with, you know, barely a lift of his finger. But once the duel starts, and it's the shot where they jump on the podium and it starts rising into the Senate building, and the music swells and the camera just pans way out. And then the next time it comes back and Palpatine is just throwing the Senate pods at Yoda, he is basically in that duel. It's a duel between the good and the evil.
Yeah.
Evil is winning and Palpatine is destroying the democracy in the galaxy.
Mm.
Literally.
Yeah.
And the symbolism in that battle there, intercut with, you know, the friendship that is being destroyed in the other battle there, is just ridiculous. It's mind-blowing. And it's Yoda, this is the first time we've seen Yoda not be in control, not be in charge of the situation. I mean, he gives it his all. He's, you know, the best person that we could have picked for the good side to be in that situation. But this is Palpatine's hour, and he is not going to let it out of his grasp.
Absolutely.
Everything that he has been planning and scheming has now come to fruition, and it is just starting to blossom, and he's not going to let some little green elf destroy that now. So.
Yeah. Yeah, that's actually, I mean, that's a great, great scene as well. I did not pick it, and not because I don't like it, I really like, you know, that's a good point about he's literally destroying democracy. I never picked it up that way. That's quite deep for you, my friend, as well. And, yeah, and my favorite part in the scene, like you mentioned already, but when Yoda just walks in the door, and as soon as the Imperial guards recognize him, just like a flicker of the hand, boom, done. They're down. It's great. Like, they didn't even create a contest for him.
Sitting in the movie theater, when that happened, everybody laughed. And it was just one of those things where, you know, it's one of those things where you're with everybody in the theater enjoying something, and yet, you know, it was sort of a tense laugh because you know something's coming up next. Yeah. And it was, I don't know, that's that whole thing. Seeing it for the first time in the theater with everybody there, it's just a great experience. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. Good.
Well, right. So what's your mystery scene from, yes, Revenge of the Sith that I, yes, will never pick?
Well, it's not that you wouldn't, but it's just it's a very, very short scene. And again, it all has to do with the character development of Anakin. It's the scene in the temple room, right after he's told Mace Windu that Palpatine is Sidious. So Palpatine is now Sidious. They know this. Mace, of course, who's always a jerk to Anakin, just says, "Don't get involved." And Anakin goes up to the council, and there's this great scene where he's looking over at the Senate buildings, and Padme is looking over at the temple. And then you hear Palpatine whisper, you know, if I die, my knowledge dies with me. And Anakin, more than anything else, he needs Padme. Now, again, this is his biggest character flaw, is how much he needs her. And that need for her, that insecurity, is what is going to kill him and going to kill her. But he's looking across, and he is just being torn apart by these demons inside. I love this scene in the novel. The novel does a great job describing it. And it describes it like this dragon tearing him apart inside. He doesn't know what to do. He still has this conviction to taking care of the Jedi, to being a Jedi. But he's looking across just with all of this pain in his eyes. And my favorite part of the scene, again, is a little sappy, but he cries. There's just this one lone tear that falls down his face. And you just feel that pain. With that tear is his whole life. It's just crumbling before him. He's making the choice. I have to go do something. I have to save Padme. His whole life revolves around it. And that scene, you just see it in his face, how much he needs her, how much he will do anything it takes for her. So, I love that scene.
Yeah, that's a very good scene. It's not on my list, you're right, but it's a very, very powerful scene. It is very short, and that's probably why I didn't think of it. But that just minute or less of film just sets up for the rest of the downhill tumble that the galaxy takes throughout the rest of the movie. Because it's because of that choice that Anakin makes that Mace doesn't capture Palpatine, and the rest of the movie happens, and just the galaxy begins its descent into the Empire.
Right. Yeah. So, and again, it's a scene that, more than anything, this is the scene where you know why Anakin makes the choice he does, because his life revolves around Padme, and Palpatine has him convinced, without me, she's dead. And if she's dead, his life is over. So, love that scene, which actually makes me think of a third scene, but it's also a very short one, so I'll let you go ahead, and it might be yours as well. This is a little bit of a bigger scene, but why don't you go ahead and take it home for us, Sir Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. LeClaire. My last scene that I picked for Revenge of the Sith was Order 66.
Oh, okay.
And it's because, well, we knew this was going to have to happen going into the movie. We knew that the Jedi were going to have to be taken out. I went into the movie going, okay, it's all right. It's just a movie. Don't worry about it. Your characters are going to be okay in your head. Don't worry about it. So it's the Jedi, you know, striving for, you know, to bring peace to the galaxy. They are thrust into this war, you know, doing something that is not necessarily quite in line with what their ideals are. And yet they're still doing it for the good of the galaxy, you know, still trying to serve the galaxy. And Palpatine's plan comes in and he's, you know, orders them eliminated because they are the last threat to him. And just, you know, from when Commander Cody fires on Obi-Wan all the way through till Bail Organa sees the Padawan, you know, killed in front of him on the platform of the Jedi Temple, that whole sequence, you know, with the haunting, you know, choral music and everything,
yeah,
is just... And seeing Yoda's reaction to everything, you know, he's there on Kashyyyk in the middle of this battle with this firefight going on around him. And yet all he can focus on is the fact that thousands upon thousands of Jedi are dying almost simultaneously across the galaxy.
Right.
And if something like that, and if there's something that powerful going on that it consumes all of Yoda's attention, that has got to be big.
Yeah.
And so it's just one of those sequences where, you know, when I'm in my pro Palpatine mood, I'm like, yes, this is where Palpatine's plan finally comes to fruition, and he is got his control. And yet, then on the other side, when I'm on my pro Jedi mood, you know, because Palpatine is my favorite Sith, and the Jedi are my favorite characters in general, it's just seeing the downfall and the destruction of the Jedi, you know, because all they do is they blindly serve the Republic. They couldn't see,
yeah,
who was really in charge.
Yep. Yeah.
So, and like Master Yoda said, you know, arrogance, a flaw far more common among Jedi.
Wait, how
experienced ones.
How exactly does he say it, Jason? Why don't you...
Yes, a flaw far more common among Jedi. Even the older, more experienced ones.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Yeah, so. I agree. And, you know, that's obviously... This is, you know, a huge scene for the films. I mean, this is the destruction of the Jedi. And my favorite part of that scene is when Yoda drops his cane and just grabs his heart. I mean, as much as the Jedi preach, you know, no passion, no attachment, Yoda loves the Jedi Order. His whole life has been devoted to the Jedi Order. It's almost like his heart breaks in that scene, as it should. I mean, the Jedi are all about compassion. He feels the pain of his brothers and sisters being killed. I mean, it's just so powerful, and it's so good. And like you said, the music is a perfect complement. So,
yeah,
great scene, my friend. And so, I'm gonna go ahead and close this out with one last short scene, if you don't mind.
Sure, no problem.
But it's the last scene of the film. I mean, both parts of the last scene. I love the part when Anakin walks out as Darth Vader. Now he is now Darth Vader. And he goes to stand beside the Emperor and Tarkin there. And I remember when I watched that movie, especially after what has happened to Anakin, and Padme is now dead, his life is over. Literally. I mean, and he is encased in this outfit. I mean, he ceases to be human. That's what George Lucas is always talking about. You know, the loss of one's humanity. That's what Darth Vader represents. And in that scene, when he crosses his arms standing next to the Emperor, I don't see him as ever being more lonely. Yes, he's got all these troops under his command. He's got this emperor right next to him. But he's never more alone than in that scene. I mean, it's unbelievable. He is no longer human. And,
right.
You know, it just sets up the original trilogy so perfectly. And not to mention the dead last scene. I love it when Obi-Wan brings Luke to Owen and Beru. Great scene. Absolutely phenomenal. And great way to do the last moment of Star Wars in film history. So
right, and you know, going back to the Vader on the Star Destroyer bridge, it's, you know, I agree, that is the moment where he is the most alone. He's going out there, he's going and standing with this man who used to be a father figure to him, but now, after, you know, the plan has come to fruition, Palpatine no longer needs to be the father figure. Mm. He just simply is the master.
Right.
And it's not, you know, a kind master like Yoda or Obi-Wan. It's more of a slave master.
Yes.
Than anything else.
Yes. That's great. You know, yeah, exactly. He's not Anakin's father anymore. He is Anakin's master. And he lords it over him. That's his job now.
Yep. And like you said, with the end shot with Owen and Beru holding Luke while watching the twin sons of Tatooine set is the perfect tie-in to the original trilogy.
Yeah.
And the perfect way to end the live-action Star Wars saga in the movie theaters.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. So with that, why don't we go ahead and wrap up what we hope to be one of the finest Star Wars podcasts out there. There are quite a few good ones, so no realism in that statement. But I think that's a great idea. I mean, Jason and I were planning to sit down and talk about our favorite moments from all the films. Well, that's just not possible in one evening. There's just too much. These movies are way too great. So with that, Jason, why don't we go ahead and, you know, wrap it up and let people know how to get in touch with us, contact us, give us some ideas, give us some feedback. This is our first time making a podcast together, my first time recording a podcast. So, you know, kind remarks would be nice. Critiques are welcome, but, you know, remember, we're a little bit of noobs at this.
Yes, constructive criticism.
Constructive criticism, that's right. Yes. So, yeah, I mean, we have our Facebook page, the Wampa's Lair Podcast on Facebook. You can find us there. And Jason, you want to go ahead and give them our email address?
Yeah, we have a email is wampaslairpodcast@gmail.com.
Great. So,
Next time we record, we will be going over our favorite moments of the original trilogy. So stay tuned for that.
Exactly. So Jason, it's been great.
It's been fantastic, Carl. Thank you so much for this opportunity.
Yeah, my pleasure. And to those of you taking your time, thank you for taking your time, giving us whatever you're doing right now, the time to listen to us ramble about movies we're sure you love just as much as us. And with that, may the Force be with you.
We'll see you next time in the Wampa's Lair.